Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend, Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good, Steve. Thanks.
Good to be back here with you.
Oh, always great to be here on Sunday night talking about God's Word. And if you've been with us the last couple of weeks, and I'm sure you never missed this show.
I have.
If you've been with us the last couple of weeks, I think our ratings have been going up lately, but I don't have any real numbers. Anyway, if you've been with us the last 2 weeks, you know that we've started, we periodically do series about things. We periodically do that. So we started a series on the new evangelization, and the last two shows have been about that, and we'll probably have at least a handful more, but I'm not sure exactly, but certainly tonight. And the fact that a new evangelization is needed is something that we all have to think very seriously about.
Mm-hmm.
As this darkness that's engulfing the world gets thicker, and people who used to be interested in things of the church and things of the Word and things of God so and so forth are now starting to kind of drift away and saying, well, we used to do that kind of stuff, but we don't really do that kind of stuff anymore. And as Europe and Canada and the U.S. have become post-Christian rather than Christian, and in some cases even anti-Christian, this has become a very serious issue in our time, because the way in the past that people had the basis of the Christian faith and had the basis of salvation and had the basis of what the gospel was all about has been withered away, has been taken away. And especially in, and we never can decide what to call them, but people that are in their 20s and in their 30s, mm-hmm, have basically been raised in a totally different way than some of us baby boomers were, where we, at least, even if people my age didn't go to church and weren't particularly interested in it, there was a basis of Christianity that everybody kind of learned.
Yeah.
And that's really been lost the last, I don't know, 25 to 30 years.
Right. You know, one of the things that's true throughout human history, if you study history, which is a good thing to do every once in a while, mm-hmm, is that after a generation or so, the events of that generation tend to lose the importance or the effect of to the next generation, or mm-hmm, the second generation. And so as time goes on, and we see this in the Old Testament where, you know, Joseph became less important, or when the Israelites were put back into slavery, I'm thinking,
There became a Pharaoh who did not know
Joseph. There became a Pharaoh that did not know Joseph. So, you know, that wasn't important to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so things changed. But one thing that is important, as God told the Israelites in the Exodus, you're to celebrate this every year. And as a story is told, it's told in the first person,
mm-hmm,
that they were there. Because the events, as time goes on, can lose their importance. They, yeah, can lose their significance, mm-hmm, because I didn't experience it.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't really mean that much to me.
Yeah.
And thus, Jesus can become a historical fact.
Mm-hmm.
And we can just look at notes and, commentary and go, he did this and he did that, and that's very nice.
Well, read books about him.
And read books about him. But, I wasn't there. I didn't see any of this. Mm-hmm. How do I know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why evangelization is important, but that's also why encountering the Spirit of the living God is important. Because it's the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that reveals to us that we can say Jesus, mm-hmm, Christ is Lord.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit reveals to us God's presence among us.
Yeah.
And, those things are vitally important. You can't have evangelization without the movement of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
trying to do it on your own is going to be fruitless.
Yes. You'll never get it into your head. It's the who do you say I am dialogue at Caesarea Philippi.
Yeah.
Or, you know, well, yeah, you're a prophet. Yeah, 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 you're Jeremiah. Well, you know, you're somebody really awesome. And,
right.
And Peter comes right out and says, you know, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. Because there isn't a way that flesh and blood can figure these things out.
Right.
I mean, Peter was sitting there as they were talking, and he was looking at somebody who was a man, looked like all the other men around there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe was a little bit smarter, maybe spoke a little bit better, certainly was an awesome teacher and preacher.
Right.
But all of a sudden, for someone to burst out with, you're the Son of God,
yeah,
he wouldn't have deduced that just by looking at him.
Right. Right. And based on other things that Peter had said, you wouldn't expect him to say that.
Yeah. But, you know, this, like, you make a good point of people of the generation, and I don't know what to call these generations, but younger people haven't really been exposed to that. And partly, of course, it's been my generation's fault.
Mm-hmm.
And a big part has been my generation's fault. And secondly, the culture has changed so much that this is really not important to people.
Mm-hmm.
They are, you know, concerned with their entertainment, with their jobs, with, you know, whatever's going on.
Right.
The kids, the stresses, the try to make my life better, try to get a nice house,
right,
try to get a better car, try to get a better job. And, I mean, these are all things that you have to do.
Well, you even see this in our culture today with mathematics and, you know the ability for people to do mathematical equations long form has gotten lost because because the ability to create calculators and computers and do all these formulas was evident that, or it was created by people who understood it.
Yeah.
And now you have a generation of children that are coming up who don't understand that.
And they can't do anything simple in their head.
Right. And so you run the risk of losing all this knowledge that was gained.
Yeah. Yeah. And so this traditional Christian teaching, you know, it's like, how does it relate to our culture?
Mm-hmm.
People say, I don't know anything about that.
Right.
I mean, Jesus seems like he was a good teacher, and I'm sure he was really nice.
Right.
I'm sure he was a good guy, but, you know, okay, what's that have to do with me?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, part of the problem, of course, is that they don't know what their real state is. And we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. They don't know how they look before a holy and just God.
Mm-hmm.
Because they haven't really ever thought about that.
Right.
They've been raised with a lot of self-esteem. They've been raised with the idea that, well, you know, you think this is right. The other guy thinks this is wrong. He thinks this is right. You think that's wrong. But, you know, whatever you think is okay. And whatever picture you make of God in your mind is a good one. You know, the God I believe in doesn't do that. The God I believe in doesn't think that way. You know, we all have, you know, we've made God in our own image, you know, to use kind of a turnaround of the Genesis creation.
Right.
So when you form, you know, it was kind of like making idols. You know, when you made an idol, you could make it in a way that you liked. So you kind of had control over the idol.
Mm-hmm.
So if you rationalize in your head, well, you know, everybody says God loves everybody. So God does love everybody. So therefore, I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to worry about this because God loves everybody.
God
and if there is a God, he loves me.
Mm-hmm.
And when I die, somehow this is all going to work out. And who knows anyway, because no one's ever come back to tell us.
And, you know, as you're saying that, there's a lot of commentary that I hear where people will say, well, you know, God loves you no matter what. You can't do anything more to make God love you or make him love you more or less. But if you look in Scripture, it certainly tells us that the fruit, you know, John the Baptist tells the Pharisees, you know, he calls them that endearing term of being a brood of vipers. So I tried that one time. I went up to the water cooler and I said, you brood of vipers. And everybody used to look at me. No, I didn't do that. But he tells them, who told you of the coming wrath?
Mm-hmm.
Produce good works as evidence of your repentance.
Mm-hmm.
And today we live in a culture that doesn't seem to understand the need for repentance because they don't know what they're repenting from.
Exactly. What do you need? What do you need to be saved from?
I'm not doing anything wrong. What do I need to repent from?
I've never killed anybody.
Right.
I go to work every day. And
Right. But if you, but because they don't know the Word of God mm-hmm. and they don't know the teachings
exactly.
of Jesus, there you run into
yes.
the whole
yes.
yeah. problem.
And this is one of the things we talked about last week, and we also did a series on this some time ago last year, that the gospel's been hijacked.
Mm-hmm.
Because now the gospel is about being nice, about being tolerant, not offending anybody.
Social justice.
Recycling the pop cans, buying, you know, certain products only at certain places.
Right.
And those are important things. We mm-hmm. want to conserve the environment, and we want to, I mean, those are important things. We're stewards of the environment.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the gospel. And like you're always fond of saying, once you know Jesus in a personal way, the good works will flow from that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, I don't know how much Jesus cares about recycling our pop cans, but, you know, it's if you feel strongly about that, that's okay.
Do you think there's a recycling center up in heaven?
No, because nothing ever dies or gets wasted.
That is true.
Yeah.
So it is the ultimate
yeah,
recycling center.
You know, the idea of a one way to salvation, the I am the way, the truth, and the life now, is kind of an unacceptable idea because it isn't tolerant. It's narrow-minded. It's mm-hmm. like, what about those guys? They don't believe what you believe. They're still
right.
nice. And that whole thing about the sacrifice and the blood and the, you know, the cross, Jesus on the cross taking our punishment mm-hmm. that we deserve,
right.
that now we don't have to take,
right.
that we can become adopted sons and daughters, mm-hmm. and then we can become co-heirs, as
right.
Paul calls us. These are such mind-boggling things, but the general population says, well, that's all pretty weird.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know about that, but that's all pretty weird because you're supposed to be nice to everybody, and I've never killed anybody, and I take care of my kids, and I've never stolen anything,
right.
and, you know, it just goes on and on and on. Or even worse, it's like, well, that used to be true then, because people were primitive and people were superstitious and people didn't understand. Now we have science and knowledge and we understand how things work. So therefore,
mm-hmm.
since God didn't give the creation account in terms of math equations and physics and chemical laws and, you know, that was all just superstition.
Yeah, I think Job questioned him on that stuff.
I think
once.
He did.
Yeah, I think
yeah.
it was...
Read chapter 38 and 39 for your homework.
God's reply
yeah.
to Job.
So what's happening in the world today is what I like to call, you know, we've become a remnant. We've become a faithful remnant. And there's many places in the Bible where a little group of people does a lot of stuff.
Right.
I mean, you look at the apostles. I mean, if you take the total number of believers in Jerusalem, you know, there was 120 at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then within a short amount of time, the gospel had spread all through the Roman world.
Yeah. Think about it. You went from 120 to
yeah.
3,120.
That's right. Yeah, in the first 20 minutes.
Well, we outgrew our building.
That's right. They had to build a new church. But, no. But, you know, it's a remnant. You know, Elijah had a remnant and Gideon had a remnant. I mean, all these remnants through the scriptures. And now what has to be done because of the Great Commission, because of things that we're commanded to do, we're going to get into some examples of that, the remnant has to re-evangelize mm-hmm. the rest of the world.
Right.
And, you know, interestingly, you know, for our Catholic friends, there was a very amazing quote I heard a few years ago that really shook me up was when Pope Benedict said, one of the missions of the church now is to Christianize Europe.
Mm.
And when you think about that, you think, well, wait a minute. Europe was Christianized, you know, in the 300s, the 400s,
yeah.
the 200s. And he says, now we have to Christianize Europe. Well, as a matter of fact, we do have to.
Yeah.
Because they've slipped away and we've slipped away. You have to evangelize your neighbors and your coworkers and all the people you come in contact with,
mm-hmm.
whether it's at the grocery store or at the office or at the park or when you're at your kid's soccer game, because they don't know the basis of salvation. They don't know what the good news is.
Mm-hmm.
And if you even the word evangelization is so confusing to people, because evangelization, like we talked about last time, is it's giving the good news to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It's good news. And the good news is not if you're really tolerant, if you go to work every day, if you take care of your kids and you never steal anything and never kill anybody, you'll be saved.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice if you do those things, but right. that's not salvation.
Right. And evangelization is an ongoing process. Evangelization is something that the church must continually do, that those who have been entrusted with the faith,
yes. mm-hmm.
with the knowledge of God,
mm-hmm.
and it's not just for a pastor, it's not just for
yes.
a priest, it's
yes.
for any lay person who has been entrusted with the knowledge of Christ is risen from the dead, and he
yeah.
died
yeah.
for my sins.
Yeah. It's not for the professionals, so
right.
to speak. Anybody has to do it.
And it you know, when you say that it's not for the professionals, you bring up an excellent point, because in the ministries that I do with younger people, children and teenagers, one of the things that they really struggle with is their own identity.
Mm.
Because they're
yeah.
growing and maturing
yeah.
into
yeah.
an adult.
Sure.
And you know, what are my gifts and talents? What am I gonna do with the rest of my life?
Yeah.
And we like to make it we like to think that it's going to be permanent. My decision when I'm 15 is going to be permanent for the rest of my life. And it's great if it is,
mm-hmm.
but chances are most people, that doesn't, you know, I don't want to say most people. There's people that doesn't work for,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's some people make a decision and they've made the right decision and mm-hmm. that's their call and mm-hmm. they go off in life and
mm-hmm.
but there's other people that they kind of feel their way through.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, coming to terms with who they are and trying to come to terms with who God is in their life can be a very, very big struggle for them.
Yeah.
And how does this all fit? You know, if you're trying to talk with them about salvation, mm-hmm. it's it'll be a daunting task sometimes
yeah.
because you want to preach the truth of the gospel to them and still let them know that God
right.
loves God loves them.
That's right. That's right.
And in our culture, a lot of people are raised with, I've done nothing wrong, you know,
mm-hmm.
and my mom and dad love me
mm-hmm.
and they should, but if they really love you 100% and they are faith-filled
yeah.
believers, they're
yeah.
going to tell you about Jesus Christ
yeah.
and what he's done for you.
Exactly. And this is a good point you bring up, is how do you reach, like you work, I don't really work with youth hardly ever,
mm-hmm.
but you do. And it's like reaching young people, especially mm-hmm. is difficult. Because in our time, it's become a whole different mission field than it would have been 50 years
mm-hmm.
ago.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the basis. They don't have the concept of sin, because the concept of sin has pretty much been, you know, kind of worn away.
Right.
It's like, what is sin? I don't know. You know, you talk about it's rebellion against God. They say, well, what does that mean? You
right.
say, well, God has a law and you've broken the law. And
right.
they'll say, well, what do you mean the law? Does God have a law?
The
foundation of it is gone.
Even.
Oh, no.
Oh, we'll get back to this.
It's already a break.
Yeah.
Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be back in just a minute.
Let God just be glad. Yes, let them rejoice with gladness. God has triumphed mightily. Let God arise. Let God arise. Arise. Let God arise. Let God arise. Let his enemies, be scattered, and let the righteous be glad. Yes, let them rejoice with gladness. God has triumphed mightily. Let God arise. Let God arise. Let God arise. Let God arise. to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O God Most High, to proclaim your love and faithfulness all the day and through the
listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Oh, wait, I gotta catch my breath. I gotta put the banners away now. Everybody go sit down. Go back to your seats.
The yeah. dance ministry.
Yeah, if you've never been to a Paul Wilbur concert and heard that kind of music and seen people dancing and clapping and singing and running around carrying banners, you might have that opportunity. You will have that opportunity coming up in October.
Ooh.
We'll talk more about that later. But anyway.
Special information we have.
Yes. So during the break.
Where do all the dancers come from? They just come out of the woodwork to do that. I don't understand. Okay, anyway.
Yeah, so during the break, Steve brought up something I think you should share.
Well, we were talking, you know, we're talking about evangelization and the importance of proclaiming the gospel and proclaiming the truth that God has revealed to us down through the ages, through the prophets. And, you know, God established a covenant with his people.
Mm-hmm.
He established a covenant with Abraham. He established a covenant with Noah and with David. And those covenants were sealed in blood.
Mm-hmm.
But more importantly, they were there was an exchange of persons. And that in a covenant, what one person, you know, one person's going to uphold what the other person might not do. And so it's not just, well, you uphold your end of it, I'll uphold my end of it, and maybe it'll work. In a covenant, I'm going to uphold my end of it, even though you're not holding up your end of it. And that's what God always does. Because God always comes through time after time throughout salvation history and acts upon, you know, the face of the earth, and things happen, and the yeah. plan of salvation is pushed forward. But Jesus ratifies the new and eternal covenant in his own blood.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And it's an exchange of persons, because Jesus is saying, Phil, you're standing before the judge, and the judge says, Phil, you're guilty. And Jesus is there and steps forward and says, Your Honor, I'm going to take his place. And the judge says, but Yeshua, you don't understand. I just sentenced him to death. And Yeshua says, I understand. Mm-hmm. I want to save him. I'm going to die in his place. And that's what he does, and he just doesn't do it for Phil. He does it for Steve.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He does it for everyone, whether you're listening or not listening.
Mm-hmm.
He does it for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the importance of the gospel, because the new and eternal covenant is ratified in the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we're purchased at the price of his own blood. When that is lost, when that understanding is lost, you come to a place of a church active in social justice, a church active in, you know, all kinds of other things,
mm-hmm.
except proclaiming the truth
mm-hmm.
of Jesus dying for our sins.
Yeah.
And not that the church doesn't proclaim that, but we can tend to get away from that as time goes on because we know it and then we go on to other things. Mm-hmm. And there's an outcropping of work that comes from knowing that God loved me so much that he sent his only son to take my place, mm-hmm. to die for me. And in Thanksgiving, what do I do?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I can't, you know, anything I do isn't going to make God love me more or less, but Jesus commands us to love our neighbor. Jesus commands us, if you love me, you know, if you've done this for the least of your brethren, you've done it for me.
Mm-hmm.
So he's teaching us to do these things, but that it arises out of a love out of our heart, not out of an obligation.
Yes.
Because, oh gosh, if I do this, then God's going to love me more. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, when Jesus washes the feet of the disciples, you know, our friend Peter says, oh, well, Lord, not just my feet, but my head and hands and my whole body.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jesus says, Peter, unless I wash your feet, you have no inheritance with me.
Mm-hmm.
Ouch.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus is telling them, you're going to serve. I've come to serve. I didn't come to be on you know, parched up in my chair and preach and do all this stuff. Because the Pharisees had all this stuff,
mm-hmm.
but they kept it for themselves.
Yes.
And then they heaped on all these other little traditions that heaped burdens upon the people.
Yeah.
And Jesus tells them this.
Yeah.
But he also tells the people, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you're not going to enter the kingdom either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's a very important point. Go ahead.
And so as we're talking about, you know, as we're talking about evangelization, and we've talked about in the events of history, if something happens in a generation, it's important. The next generation knows it's important. Then the following generation, it's a little bit less important.
Yeah.
Just like with the story of the Exodus.
Mm-hmm.
And how God delivered the Israelites out of Egypt by striking down the firstborn of each generation, both man and beast alike.
Yeah.
Now, nobody rejoices in that. I mean, that must have been one awful night to hear the wailing and crying of human beings it's unfathomable.
Mm-hmm.
But we get away from that and we want to sanitize things. And we sanitize people right onto the road to hell.
Exactly.
Because they don't understand the importance of what they're being saved from.
Yes, exactly.
They don't understand the destruction of what they're being saved from.
Yes, exactly.
And then people who haven't, I've encountered the love of God in a way that's transformed my life and my heart. And I know where I was. I know the path that I was on.
Mm-hmm.
So I can always give testimony and witness to that. But if somebody just talks to me and says, well, you know, you're really narrow-minded about some of this stuff. I have to stop them and say, no, I'm right where you were. I was where you were at 20 years ago.
Wow.
And what I'm telling you now is take heart and listen.
Yes.
If you don't want to believe me, that's fine, but I'm going to tell you because it's my obligation to tell you.
Right.
Because there's a love in your heart for that person so that their soul so that they come to know the love of God.
Yeah. I mean, their eternal destiny is at stake.
Yeah.
And, you know, you made so many points, I have to.
No.
Can we roll the tape? When people say, like, people have said to me, oh, you know, I think you're just arrogant because you think you're the only one that has the right position.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, well, I do think my position is right, but it's not my position to begin with.
Right.
I'm just telling you the message of salvation. I'm telling you the good news.
Right.
We're commanded to do this. I mean, nowhere in the scripture does it say that your faith is a private thing that you never talk to anybody about.
Right.
And, you know, there's always, and, you know, when you study the Torah, every time something happens, they build a little monument out of stones. And God says, so your children are going to know what happened here. So when you're going for a walk with your kids and they go, hey, how come there's a pile of stones over here? You say, oh, because this is where our people crossed the river and this is where this happened. This is where the other thing happened. Because you have to keep reinforcing it.
Mm-hmm.
But now that it's not been reinforced and as humanity has, quote, progressed, we've gone into secularism and, you know, kind of a scientific humanism. You know, we're building the city of man.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't need God. We'll take care of this ourselves. Thank you very much. Because will cure diseases, will set up our law so that no one will be offended, no one can be hurt, you know, on the playground anymore. Everything mm-hmm. will work out perfectly fine.
Right.
We have an agency that oversees this and oversees that and oversees the other thing. We're going to make sure that everybody just lives their life in a really nice way, and there's going to be paradise here.
And nobody gets hurt.
And nobody gets hurt. Nobody yeah. gets offended. Everybody can do what they want. No one can criticize or judge somebody. And this is what we're doing. And, you know, in Romans chapter 1, we have a couple of interesting things. You know, there's two parts of Romans chapter 1, which is my favorite book.
It is?
The first part of it, you know, Paul says he's not ashamed of the gospel. It's just the power of God unto salvation. And this is what we're talking about here. He's not ashamed of it. It's the power of God unto salvation. If you're ashamed of the gospel, you know, what does that mean? Jesus says, you know, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father.
Mm-hmm.
If you're ashamed of me here, I'm going to be ashamed of you before my Father,
yeah.
which is going to have horrible consequences.
Yeah.
And so if you say, well, I better not talk about that gospel stuff because I don't want this guy to think I'm crazy, and I'm kind of, you know, embarrassed to talk about it here. I'd rather just mm-hmm. talk about it when I'm at church. You know, you're denying him before men.
Right.
And what's happened is Paul says this is the only way of salvation. The gospel is the only way of salvation. It's the power of God unto salvation, because when you were talking about the covenants, you know, there were many covenants, but there was the covenant of law, which was sealed by blood and given to Moses, and it was sealed by animal blood. There's the second covenant that was the new and eternal covenant, which is also sealed by blood, but it's the blood of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And you've all seen the Passion of the Christ, and I don't want to just keep talking about this, but if you've seen the Passion of the Christ and you see that blood as the means of salvation, and if Jesus were there talking to you and said to you, well, if you want to follow me, that'll be great. If you want to follow this other guy or the other guy or the other guy, hey, they're awesome teachers too. So you can just go follow whoever you want, and, you know, I'll see you in heaven. That would have been kind of ridiculous
mm-hmm.
for him to go through that horrible death.
Right.
That would have been crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't follow a Messiah that you think might be mentally ill.
Right.
And that you'd have to question his sanity
mm-hmm.
to say, well, I just won't resist. I'll just have them kill me like this. But this isn't the only way to heaven.
Right.
In fact, it is the only way to heaven, and it's the only way this sin can be dealt with. And, you know, it's the power of God unto salvation. This was the plan,
mm-hmm.
sealed in blood.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Torah was the prefigurement of that. He's the substance. Those things were the types and shadows. And they were all about blood.
Right.
But the second part of Romans chapter 1 is where we've gotten today. Where, you know, maybe we should read some of it. But
yeah, we can do it.
Yeah. But it's basically, you know, you're worshiping the creature rather than the creator. I mean, we mm-hmm. worship ourselves. We want to make right. ourselves look nice, dress nice, feel good. You know, if we're 60, we want to look like we're 40. If we're 40, we want to look like we're 20. You know, we want to wear like the nicest clothes. We want everybody to look at us and say, wow, that guy's really cool. And, you know, I want to take care of myself. I want money. I want stuff. I want house. I want car. I want gold. I want whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I want power. I want influence. Whatever it is, you're talking about taking care of yourself
mm-hmm.
and you're worshiping the creature. We will build the city of man. You know, it's like Babel.
Right.
We'll take care of this.
Right.
You know, there was some antiquated notion that God will take care of this, but we don't care about that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because now we've evolved into modern man. So we'll do this ourselves.
Well, and it goes along the lines of what you're saying, I think goes along the lines of what I've been expressing is that, you know, every generation wants to, like, find their own wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, we discovered this. Mm-hmm. This intelligence that, gosh, nobody else has had before.
Yeah.
Aren't we smart? And it goes along with the whole process of learning and knowledge building upon knowledge. And, you know, what we talked about before is, like, mathematical equations. How, you know, great scientists like Einstein and that, you know, what they had to know to carry out these inventions that mm-hmm. that they created.
Yeah.
And now students today have trouble doing basic math problems because they don't have the understanding of just the basics of it. And so what you do is you can have a whole society can really collapse on itself because you have a generation that doesn't understand the basics of how the society, how society got to that point in the first place. But worse yet, if you try to replace the wisdom of God, which is eternal, with your own wisdom, which is finite,
mm-hmm.
you're going to have the same consequences.
That's right.
You're going to have the same consequences in a spiritual dimension because God's wisdom is eternal.
Yes.
And if you refute that, you run the risk, and it's not really a risk. It will happen.
Oh, it will happen.
It will happen.
And Paul alludes to this in that second part of Romans 1, where he says, your minds become darkened. You know, you profess yourself to be wise, and you become a fool.
We're brilliant.
We know all this stuff. We can have abortion, and we can have gay marriage, and we can have all this stuff. And you're talking like you're a wise guy, but you're saying ridiculous stuff. So you've become a fool.
Yeah.
But this is the darkness of secularism, and this is where people live today.
Right.
And, you know, we've been talking about young people, but it's not just young people.
Hmm.
It's people who formerly knew about the faith, formerly used to practice the faith in some way or another, that are now like, well, you know, this, you know, I don't do that anymore because, you know, hey, now this is how we go now. This is how we've progressed now. And, well, maybe I won't do the abortion stuff and, you know, I won't be involved in a gay marriage, obviously, but hey, if somebody else wants to do it,
mm-hmm.
it's fine for them. If it's fine for them, it's fine for them. And churches are going this way. You know, we mm-hmm. talked 2 weeks ago about how the church is becoming more like the world rather than the world like the church
mm-hmm.
because we're taking the secularism in because we don't want to be strange.
Right.
You know, the ramparts are breaking down. The ramparts are under assault.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no one. Well, I shouldn't say no one. There's very few that will stand on the ramparts and say we're defending the city.
Right.
And so this business of the second part of Romans 1 is the secularism has invaded and has become a religion of its own, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do what we want to do, and nobody can tell us anything.
Right.
And all that old-fashioned morality and all those old-fashioned moral codes, that's ridiculous. We don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
And then, you know, in Isaiah chapter 5 is kind of the moral viewpoint of that. You know, I call Romans 1 the theological viewpoint of mm-hmm. how people think today. The moral one is in Isaiah 5. I don't know if you have that ready.
Did we want to read Romans first?
Read about the...
Let's do that.
Yeah.
So Paul says, this is beginning in verse 8, chapter 1, verse 8. First, I give thanks to my God through Jesus Christ for all of you because your faith is heralded throughout the world. God is my witness, whom I serve, and my spirit is proclaiming the gospel of his Son, that I remember you constantly, always asking in my prayers that somehow, by God's will, I may at least find my way clear to come to you. For I long to see you, and that I may share with you some spiritual gift, so that you may be strengthened. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by one another's faith, yours and mine. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I often planned to come to you, though I was prevented until now, that I might harvest some fruit among you, too, as among the rest of the Gentiles, to Greeks and non-Greeks alike, to the wise and the ignorant. I am under obligation. That is why I am eager to preach the gospel also to you in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, for Jew first and then Greek. For in it is revealed the righteousness of God from faith to faith. As it is written, the one who is righteous by faith will live. The wrath of God is indeed being revealed from heaven against every impiety and wickedness of those who suppress the truth by their wickedness. For what can be known about God is evident to them, because God made it evident to them. Ever since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes of eternal power and divinity have been able to be understood and perceived in what he has made. As a result, they have no excuse. For although they knew God, they did not accord him glory as God or give him thanks. Instead, they became vain in their reasoning, and their senseless minds were darkened. While claiming to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for the likeness of an image of mortal man, or of birds, or of four-legged animals, or of snakes. Therefore, God handed them over to impurity through the lust of their hearts. For the mutual degradation of their bodies, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and revered and worshiped the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Therefore, God handed them over to degrading passions. Their females exchanged natural relations for unnatural, and the males likewise gave up natural relations with females and burned with lust for one another. Males did shameful things with males and thus received in their own persons the due penalty of their perversity. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God handed them over to their undiscerning mind to do what was improper. They are filled with every form of wickedness, evil, greed, and malice, full of envy, murder, rivalry, treachery, and spite. They are gossips and scandal mongers, and they hate God. They are insolent, haughty, boastful, ingenuous in their wickedness, and rebellious towards their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know the just decree of God that all who practice such things deserve death, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them.
Mm. Wow. I think that sums it up. That tells you where we are today, and it tells you where people are living today.
Yeah.
And that they're not standing on the rock, they're standing on that. Oh, it's a second break already.
Yeah.
This is an awesome song. Whew. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. You can find a lot of stuff there. We'll be back in just a minute.
Cry out.
of heaven as they worship day and night. We fall upon our knees and join the ancient cry. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Most High. Holy, holy, holy is the
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. That's an awesome song. We only have a couple of minutes left. Yikes. So this Romans 1, you know, that second half of that chapter shows us where we are today.
Yeah.
It's so powerful that Paul couldn't have imagined what the world we lived in today.
I know.
But he summed it up.
You know, when somebody says, well, you know, I don't see really what the relevance of the gospel is today.
Yeah.
If they read Romans 1,
exactly.
I would hope they would see it.
You know, he gives us over to our reprobate minds.
Yeah.
That's the theological viewpoint. Then where we've come in the moral viewpoint, I think, is really summarized in Isaiah 5 and starting at verse 20. Why don't you read those few verses there, Steve?
Those who call evil good and good evil, who change darkness to light and light into darkness, who change bitter to sweet and sweet into bitter. Those who are wise in their own eyes, prudent in their own view, those who are champions at drinking wine, masters of mixing drink, at mixing drink, those who acquit the guilty for bribes and deprive the innocent of justice. Therefore, as the tongue of fire licks up stubble, as dry grass shrivels in the flame, their root shall rot and their blossoms scatter like dust. For they have rejected the instruction of the Lord of hosts and scorned the word of the Holy One of Israel.
Whoa. So, you know, it's woe to you if you substitute good for evil. You know, what are we doing now? We're saying these lifestyles, these sins, these horrible moral things are good.
Mm-hmm.
These are good things. What you guys believe is wrong. You're narrow-minded. You're bigoted. You know, it's offensive what you think.
Yeah.
So you've substituted the evil for the good. The things that used to be sweet, oh, no, no, that's bitter stuff. We don't want that.
Yeah.
Because we don't want this law. We don't want this moral conduct. We don't want this judgment stuff.
Don't tell me what to do.
Don't tell me what to do. I don't have to answer to you. I don't have to answer to anybody.
Right.
So you've substituted bitter for sweet. And, you know, God says, woe to you when you do that. Because you're going to be judged. The fire's going to come on you.
And it says there, therefore the wrath of the Lord blazes against his people.
That's
he
right.
stretches out his hand to strike them.
Yes.
And people don't want to hear that.
That's right.
That God's wrath or God's anger still exists.
It's coming.
Yeah.
It's coming. And so the thing is when you do these things in those two, you know, passages there, Romans 1 and Isaiah 5, you have to ask yourself, how do people see themselves in front of God?
Mm-hmm.
We don't need God. We can do what we want.
Right.
We don't want any of that old fashioned stuff.
Right.
This is different now than it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
We're in a, you know, brave new world, so to speak. You know, we're going to make the world.
Yeah.
So therefore, the sweet things are going to be what used to be bitter, and the bitter things are going to be what used to be sweet, and on and on and on.
Yeah.
And he talks about judgment coming.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, why is this important? Why don't we just sit back and say, well, whatever they want to do, you know, it's okay. It doesn't affect me, whatever. It's because their eternal destinies are at stake.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The eternal destiny of literally billions of people on this planet are at stake.
Right.
Your brothers, your sisters, your parents, your children, your friends, your coworkers are all over the place on this.
Well, if you look at what happens in a family when a parent doesn't discipline their child and they just let the child do whatever they want, the child becomes, you know, you can't control them.
Sure.
And this is what's happening in our society where, you know, if people get away from moral law and the spiritual law, you live in a lawless society.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, you know, people may think, well, you know, what's wrong with that?
Yes.
I don't think you want to see it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, in it's our duty, though. You know, in 1 Corinthians, I don't remember what the chapter is, but Paul says, you know, if I preach the gospel, I don't have anything to boast about,
right?
Because it's laid on me that I have to do it. It's a
right.
necessity to do it.
Exactly.
But he says, woe to me if I don't preach the gospel.
Exactly.
Because our, you know, what he's saying is my duty is to proclaim Christ to everybody. So mm-hmm. if I go someplace and I see something and I proclaim Christ to them, if I don't, and I walk away saying, oh, well, they're not going to want to hear about that anyway, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. The necessities, the obligation is put on me to proclaim it.
Right.
Back in, you know, the prophet Jeremiah says, you know, today, this is in chapter 20, verse 9, today I'm not going to talk about God. I'm not going to talk about his law. I'm not going to talk about anything. Then he says, it burns in me like a fire. Mm-hmm. And if I don't let it out, I feel like my bones are going to break.
Yeah.
Because that's what you're meant to do.
Exactly. I mean, you know, you're in this burning building, and you know, and you're the only one that knows the exit way out.
Yeah.
And you don't tell anybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Woo!
Can't believe it's the end of the show. Well, I hope you had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we would pray that the Spirit of God would come upon you to enlighten your heart and your mind to the truth of God, to the love of God, and to the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, His Son. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.